Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
What's up, everybody? I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies, breaking them all the way down.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. This is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger. As you heard in the intro, this is John and Kevin, and we're very glad that you're back with us. Kevin, I'm glad to see you.
I'm happy that we're both back.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you sipping on?
We're drinking that Dickel. We're sipping on the Dickel Barrel Select.
It's tasty.
And it's delicious.
It's a little Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah, it puts me in the mood for this movie that we're talking about. Particularly just because it seems like in every other scene, which is just chock full of 80s excess and like businessmen in suits in back, like backdoor clubs and shit, drinking brown liquor from glasses. It seemed apropos.
I dig it.
Yeah.
And a special hello also to everyone who's listening to us on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. We're happy to be here.
Definitely.
We've got a lot of old goodies on our own 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger feed if you want to try to catch up on what you've been missing out on.
Yep.
And then also, if you're listening to us on our feed, check out the podcast network. If you like what we're doing, then there's probably a whole lot of other stuff over there that you'll like. A lot of Stallone love, which we abide.
We tolerate it, barely. Yeah,
there's Dolph Lundgren-themed podcast, Seagal-themed podcast, yeah. Bruce Willis and James Bond. They're picking the Rocky movies apart minute by minute.
I love
over
that.
There.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you got more spare time after you're done listening to us, check out the podcast network. They're awesome.
Got nothing but time. So speaking of great... And by great, I mean mediocre,
acceptable
80s Arnold vehicles.
Yeah.
This is a series. This is the third part of our series of 1986's Raw Deal.
Just by the very nature of Arnold's presence in the film, it elevates it.
Yeah.
Beyond, you know, if this was a Charles Bronson movie or some shit
totally.
Like that, or Chuck Norris or whoever else was trying to kick ass and
yeah,
failing.
I can imagine with Charles Bronson or Chuck Norris, this movie would just immediately look cheaper.
If Charles Bronson had been like the Harry Shannon character or something,
yeah,
that could have been cool. If he had been
awesome.
Like a supporting, like a passing the torch.
Right. So I guess I'll get us caught up a little bit on what we loosely call a plot.
passes for a plot
in the last act, Kaminsky, after having faked his death, infiltrates the Patravita crime family. He's mm-hmm. trying to ingratiate himself to Patravita's number two, Rocca.
It's all a ruse
to the dismay of Rocca's chief lieutenant, Max Keller. We also see that the Patravita family is getting moved in on by this Polish gangster, Lemanski, who used to work for Patravita, but Patravita is not having that. This town is definitely not big enough for the two of us.
Accurate.
So Kaminsky ingratiates himself, like gets his foot in the door by causing Lemanski some shit in one of his like underground casinos
mm-hmm.
and stealing his girlfriend's jewelry. And then... upon meeting Rocca, we think that Max Keller tried to have Kaminsky killed in a back alley.
Yes.
And which was witnessed by some cops who we think are going to turn up later, we guess.
Yeah, they crop up periodically whenever it's convenient.
And then while Brenner slash Kaminsky was inside...
Joey Pussy Brenner.
Joey Pussy Brenner was inside the casino... Roca slash Patrovita's casino, he meets Monique, who's just, they're all kinds of red flags. This is a woman you should probably not be trying to like talk to because she's not good with money. She's drinking, she's smoking, she seems kind of sad. I don't know. Anyway, by the end of the last chapter, Roca agrees to give Brenner, Joseph Pussy Brenner, his audition to join the troop.
The stakes are high. It's impress us or we'll kill you. Yeah,
impress us or you're going to die. And that basically gets us caught up.
Yeah.
Did you get all that?
If not, tough shit.
Tough shit. Drink your bourbon and shut up.
We're plowing forward.
We got to go.
So as Kaminsky is waiting on the curb for his car to be brought around outside the club, we've got Monique comes walking out.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's wearing. It was basically like a lingerie with a blazer over the top
of
it.
Yeah, sort of.
Low cut as hell. I mean, she was cutting a nice figure.
She looks fantastic.
So he asks her how she fared the other night when he seemed to have given her like roughly $20,000 in chips.
Right.
On his way out the door. She seems to indicate that she lost it all.
I'd probably stop talking to her, right?
That is, we're talking big time red flags, like fucking degenerate gambler.
Lost $20,000?
Like in the span of a day or two? If she's got it, she's going to lose it, apparently.
That's not great.
So she sort of hints that tonight was more of the same. Kaminsky suggests to her that she ought to find a different...
I love that.
She ought to look for a different type of recreation.
Yeah.
You know, he tells her basically... He tells her the exercise from tennis might make her feel better. It's like he is all about
fitness,
telling his women how they should diet and exercise.
It's not a good look.
No, it's
not. It doesn't go over well.
It's not charming.
You know, have you tried vacuuming? That might make you feel better.
What's for dinner? So as her car pulls up, a taxi, she gives him like a long stare down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to climb him like a jungle gym.
She is forward and I'm into it.
Yeah.
But so he sort of chuckles and tells that cabbie, we won't be needing you, slips him a little bit of money and sends him on his way.
That's great.
She says to him, well, you're a real take charge guy. And then that saxophone riff, like,
yeah, women love picks that. Up. Or so I heard. Wah, 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 wah. I don't know. Yeah.
Cut to, I guess this is Monique's place.
I get that vibe as well.
They're polishing off their third bottle of champagne.
That is an awesome night. I love that. That is my speed right there.
I would be shit-faced.
I fucking love champagne.
Yeah?
Like when I have gone out with like some friend groups on occasion in bygone days where some friends like maintained that it's like regardless of if you're drinking, as long as you separate each alcohol beverage that you have with a glass of champagne, it offsets.
Well, sometimes they do say like the fizzy can settle your stomach in some way.
But it's like, that's the worst logic ever. It's like,
it's all mixing together. Yeah, it's not like a film.
I'm just saying it's like champagne. Stomach. I love champagne. And so
I'm assuming that he's probably had two bottles himself and she's probably had one. Like they're, you know, he just ought to be putting away more than her. Two bottles would knock you on your ass.
Yeah,
right?
Two, like, I can drink two bottles of wine in a night by myself.
Shit.
But that's like by the end of the second bottle, it's like I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that in a long time, by the way. So if you're listening to this, don't be worried about me. Those days are over.
Send help.
Those days are over.
So Kaminsky seems to be making a joke.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but he's talking about, you know, basically who needs sleeping pills when there's champagne.
Yeah. I guess. Okay.
Then Monique says, does that mean you're ready for bed? And he awkwardly is like sort of delivers, I think so. I don't know if he's like, he is ready to cheat on that wife or not. Right. I don't know, but they stumble towards the bedroom. This has all the makings of the worst sex ever.
Yeah, everyone's very giggly and staggering around and bumping into walls and shit.
I've never been blackout drunk and had a good experience.
No. Or even like very drunk.
Yeah.
And so, had a great experience. It's like,
So Kaminsky says, I like this. You know what I like about bedrooms?
No, what?
You almost always find a bed in there.
the funniest joke I've ever heard. Funniest joke she's ever heard.
It works on Monique, but she is ready. Yeah. She is prime.
Yeah, exactly.
She starts to undress Kaminsky, and he passes out on her.
He's like giggling and then passing out, yeah.
Her reaction to his physique seemed about right.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God. She took
you're
his shirt
swollen.
Off.
You're all swollen. Are you allergic to something?
He looks like you're ready to explode. Man, the thud of his head hitting the shelves behind the bed was that's a good comedic. Comic, like a good comic moment.
Yeah, she's disappointed that he's passed out, but she like gets him into bed and like throws his feet up there.
So do you think, okay, was it real or was he faking it so he didn't have to cheat?
I think he
or do you think that was a legit, I'm this drunk and I passed out?
I think he's faking it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Okay.
I think that Arnold is superhuman and metabolizes alcohol so fast that he's like, it can't get drunk.
It was like they said of Andre the Giant.
Yeah, he
could like
just
drink 100 beers and he just never got drunk.
That's the life.
I guess.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's an expensive life.
That would be terrible.
So as Kaminsky is like snoring loudly in the bedroom, we got Monique. She's on the phone out in the room sort of rooting through Brenner's pockets.
Right. She's reading off numbers on different forms of ID, including his passport. Why the fuck is he carrying his passport around?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is a shady bitch, though.
Yeah,
she's
for real.
Shiesty.
It's very, very weird.
So she's feeding the information, all of his details, to someone on the phone. Kaminsky, now he pokes his head out of the bedroom, still sort of making those snoring noises, which that makes me think, yeah, he was faking it, right?
Yeah, totally.
Monique is verifying that her recon work has wiped out $1,000 of her debt.
Yeah, $1,000 worth of dirty work done just now.
Uh-huh. So she hangs up. Brenner ducks his head back in the bedroom.
Right.
Reminded me a little bit of in that This Is the End movie when Danny McBride is like eavesdropping. He's like, I hear everything. It's just like I wanted him to say something.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
Cut to Petrovita is on the phone with somebody having a coded conversation about the whereabouts of some missing keys that he needs to fix a broken water heater.
Yeah, apparently the call does not go like you want it because he's like furiously slamming the phone down.
It's the worst coded message I've ever heard.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is he, a plumber?
Right, I guess
he's taking calls himself with his penthouse office about broken water
it's
heaters.
So stupid that he doesn't take that call himself. I don't care.
No,
it's so stupid.
Yeah,
I wonder if Wanamaker was like, I want to say more of these lines myself.
He's the worst mobster I've ever seen. He's personally making calls from his own office. Mr. Petrovita, why were you calling this law enforcement person? Listen to the tape. I just needed to ask about some missing keys so I could repair his water heater.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be making this call from your own office yourself. Presumably to this guy's like own house or whatever. Oh, man. But so an angry Petrovita, he slams the phone down. He tells Rocha, we gave $1 million to our mole, you know, to give us the location of that informant that we
Martellino.
Killed back in the cold open. So now he's playing dumb about the impounded money and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Rocha says, you know, well, maybe the mole just doesn't like what Petrovita's got planned.
You know, for the picture that Harry painted of Rocha, Rocha seems like a very sensible guy.
Yeah.
Harry's like, he's a bloodthirsty killer who killed for no reason. But Rocha's like the only person in the movie that's got some sense.
Yeah, that's more like the goon Keller is the just the maniac.
Right.
Anyway, maybe they added another character into
maybe.
The mix.
Yeah, you're
in a later draft
right.
or something. So Petrovita, he says it doesn't matter because the mole is in it too deep to get out now.
Right.
Rocha continues to try to talk him out of it, but Petrovita's got his mind made up, basically. I feel like there's such a missed opportunity here for when I'm watching it as a cold viewer, I was thinking like, oh, Rocha's secretly working against Petrovita. Like he's probably working with Lemansky to try to undermine Petrovita or something because this guy's out of control and he needs to not be in charge anymore. Like, but that was, this movie didn't have that sort of complicated thoughts on its mind, I don't think.
No.
Now, cut to Kaminsky and Keller. They're rolling up to this bar, Kinks. It's like a gay club.
Right.
There's a drag show going on stage, a lot of mingling in the crowd.
I love it.
They roll up, ask the bartender, where is this dude named Metzger?
Yeah, we need to see Metzger, please.
The bartender's no help. Man, Kaminsky never not smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah.
So they survey the scene here in the club. Keller spots, I guess, Metzger.
The Metzger guy, yeah.
He tries to run. They chase after him. Chase him upstairs.
As they run off, the bartender makes a quick call, like a very, we're like worried about this situation, and makes a phone call.
Oh, did he make a call?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe to the police?
Yeah, I think that's why.
All right, that makes some later shit make sense. So they burst into this dressing room. It's filled with like half-dressed drag queens.
This is your nudity.
This is like
topless
a little,
drag queens.
See, I think this movie, like this is a little outside the box for this type of flick.
Yeah.
Right? Normally it would be a straight up strip club and this would be like another chance for some gratuitous nudity. But this movie is like, you know, zigging when you think it's going to zag or something.
I like
into it.
I like it a lot.
Now Keller grabs Metzger, tells him he hears that this guy has been giving money to Lemansky.
Right.
The guy basically says, look, Lemansky said he's going to burn the place down if I don't pay him. And, Keller's roughing him up. I love the moment he knocks him into like the counter and a drink spills on Keller, and then that makes Keller extra mad.
Yeah, Keller's gonna fucking kill
him. Look what you did to me.
Yeah, he like pulls a switchblade. He's like ready to kill the guy.
Right. Kaminsky steps in. He takes charge. I think clearly trying to avoid violent outcome.
Keeping him away from Keller.
Kaminsky, he grabs the dude and he slides him down the whole length of the vanity there, and he throws some red liquid on the guy's face. I don't know if it's nail polish or lip liner or what. I don't know. He basically tells him, he shows his face in the mirror and he tells him, this is what you're going to look like when you're dead, and stop paying Lemansky. Then Keller leans in. He says, you know, when I burn this whole place down, you're going to be inside, pal.
It's cold blooded.
So they kind of work well together.
Yeah.
This duo. I thought.
Yeah, I thought so,
like,
too.
They played well off each other, you know, with some good two enforcers finding their rhythm.
I kind of wish that there'd be an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Robert Davi movie. They'd be great together.
Now, as they're leaving, though, clearly Keller was not happy.
Yeah.
He says, get in my way again and I'll kill you. And then Kaminsky says, I hope you're not your mother's only child. Mm. Another kind of just shitty one-liner.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm going to kill you and then your mom will be sad? Is that what it means?
Let's just say that D'Souza was not in the writing room whipping up the one-liners
the
for
jokes
Arnold
land at a pretty low rate in this movie.
But it's
movie.
Mostly Arnold's jokes that land flat. A lot of other people have great lines.
I think he loses his rhythm. He had some good ones, like when he was driving that tow truck earlier, and he's like, oh, thank you very much. Like, can you please move out of the way there?
When he's being a little doofy, it works, but it's like there's a lack of kiss-off lines in this movie as well.
It doesn't have the Arnold vibes that we expect, I guess, the commando vibes.
Right.
I like this as they're leaving, the drag queens are tending to the battered club owner.
Yeah.
And there's that, like, kind
poor
of
Metzger.
Coffee talk accent. Mr. Metzger, are you all right? I don't like that Schwarzenegger is shorter than Robert Davi.
Right.
That just, well, you know, he's supposed to tower among those around him, but you cast another tall guy with him and all of a sudden he seems normal size.
Just seems a regular guy.
So back on the dance floor of the club, Keller and Kaminsky, they bump into the cop.
Yeah, Baker's back.
Baker's there. He says, we got a call. There was some trouble brewing. They were there quick.
Yeah. They probably had the place staked out, too. They're probably following around fucking Keller.
That shit would make more sense, right? That we were tailing you guys.
Yeah, exactly. They're tailing Keller.
I'm going to assume that he's lying when he says we got a call. But
no, he did from the bartender.
I mean, he says that, but how? I guess it got relayed to him. If you're the team that's on the stakeout, you're not responding to like disturbance calls.
No, but I mean, if that person calls whoever is working the case in the precinct, and then they relay the call,
I would still think they would send like a black and white because you don't want to tip your presence.
True. That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've never investigated a case before. A mob case.
Baker, he calls Kaminsky by his name, like, Joey P. Brenner.
I love that.
Is it like, it's like says he's been mixing with bad company here, basically.
You're hanging out with trash.
Later on in the movie, not to give spoilers, but later on in the movie, the cop outright says, I always suspected you were a cop, you know, to Kaminsky. And now if he thought that, there's no way he would call him, I think, by name that for all he knows could be his real identity. Like, he doesn't know that Brenner's a fake, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't assume that that's a false ID.
I just think that, boy, that could get him in trouble. If he had told these guys his name was Vito or something, then he's like, oh, it's Joey P. Brenner.
Right.
Anyway, As they walk out, Callery wants to know, how do you know that cop? And Kaminsky says, the cop, he stopped me in the alley after your goons tried to take me down.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Now we go cut to a very foggy golf course.
Yeah.
Lemansky's fumbling around in a sand trap.
Not a good golfer.
Major golf rules violations are happening too, because he keeps grounding his club right. in the sand trap. That's two strokes per time, I think. Shit. And he's just like fucking around.
Everyone turn around. Don't watch me.
They seem to be discussing Kaminsky.
Right.
They're talking about the new guy working for Pietravita. Lemansky says he wants an example made of this guy. He wants it public and messy. He says that's kind of
cutthroat.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
He continues to suck at golf.
Just getting mad and throw. I love when he like chucks the club, just like flings it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This feels like a movie where someone says we need a rewrite to add more laughs. And they just added some really out of sort of context comedy.
Yeah.
To the movie.
All the comedy. It's like when it happens, it's like I'm so confused by this movie, but okay.
Like it feels like there's just now we're making him sort of a goofy doofus.
Yeah. Like Lemansky's a dork.
Yeah. So at night, we got Kaminsky and Monique. They're arriving at this lavish party mansion, lots of limos.
Right.
This looks like it's going to be fun. Fucking unconvincing.
Okay.
Monique is complaining.
If you say so, tell your face.
Well, Monique, tell your face. Monique is complaining that a lot of Petrovita's friends are a real pain in the neck. And he says, you're with the main man.
Oh my God.
If you have any trouble, you let me know.
Have you ever told someone
you're with the main man?
Are you going to make it with the main man?
That is a strange thing to say.
You're with the main man.
Inside, there's this child.
I can't tell if it's like is it a child's birthday party?
I think so.
Their children having their picture taken by a professional photographer.
Like with this garish sort of pageant makeup on.
Like it's a red carpet event. I can't tell what's happening
at
the event.
Yeah, this child is striking poses in there for the photographer.
I don't get it.
Rocha.
Is it a bat mitzvah? I don't know.
No,
these are Italians. It couldn't be.
No, it's like a, maybe it's like a, whatever. It's not even a sweet 16 because that kid was young.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Whatever it is. Rocha approaches, tells Kaminsky that Pietravita would like to meet him.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like you just got here. Boss wants to see you.
Boss wants to see you. He says, be right back, which is almost an I'll be back.
It's like there are three almost I'll be backs in this movie.
I don't know if that was tongue in cheek, if they knew they were doing it, but didn't want to fully commit.
Had to have.
Oh, man, just commit. So as Rocha walks Kaminsky away, of obviously drunken Keller appears. He asks that photographer to take a picture of the three of us. Then he strangely like puts his arm around Kaminsky's shoulder and tugs on his ear.
That's a good way to lose a hand.
I feel like when I saw that happen, I was like, oh, John's not gonna like that.
The way that Arnold jerks back, I was like,
you?
That would have been me. I'd have been like, motherfucker,
what are you doing?
We're about to brawl in the middle of this child's birthday party.
Kaminsky's not having it.
No.
I like the moment where Rocha tells Keller he's having too much fun, go eat something.
I do too.
It's like, that's pretty good code talk for like, you're drunk. Get your fucking shit
drunk,
together.
You bitch. Go eat a snack.
So Keller and Kaminsky, they bicker at each other some more as Rocha's leading Kaminsky away. Man, if you're Rocha and you appreciate Keller, there's just no reason to keep Brenner around.
Agreed.
Like, these two don't mix.
Unless Rocha is the kind of guy that's literally like, this guy's got some piss and bravado. He is somebody that I can use for something.
He's fearless, I guess.
And then if he dies, I don't care.
I should also say, because I think we use Brenner and Kaminsky interchangeably.
Right.
We should remind us listeners, those are the same person. That's both Arnold. That's like Brenner is his fake identity.
Right.
It's his double,
his second
triple
or three
identity or whatever the fuck is going on here. Now, Kaminsky and Rocha, they enter this nice, like sort of wood-walled smoking room,
like
sort of office.
Yeah.
Badass. Petrovita's in there lighting a cigar. Elsewhere, Keller is pushing up on Monique, asking her for information on Brenner, which she doesn't seem to have.
Right.
Keller's like, I want you.
She's and like, yeah, we tried
Monique,
that.
Yeah, interesting little backstory. Apparently, Monique and Keller used to be an item.
They used to bone.
That didn't work out.
I got the, like her saying, you remember we tried that? And I wondered, it's like, they tried to fuck. And maybe he couldn't get it up.
Oh,
he's impotent.
Could be. There's some things going on under the surface with Keller. He's got inferiority issues.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
So clearly
it's the cocaine
true
kills an erection. I don't know anything about that.
Nor do I. Now, clearly, I guess it was Keller that had her spying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Keller says, you know, I'll wipe out your debt if you go home with me.
Yeah. Even more than the $1,000 you were asking for. I'll wipe out all your debt.
I wonder how big her debt is.
In tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, she might consider that deal. But back in the office, Pacioretty is more or less doing a job interview.
Right.
Again, collection of prescription bottles.
Right.
On his desk.
Maybe he's got a prostate issue.
Just a strange subplot that didn't go anywhere.
Right. Yes, he's got
Flonase or what else has he got in there? What's that shit that you had to for the swollen prostate?
He's probably got a heart he's got blood pressure medication in there. It's probably just all like routine maintenance for an old guy.
All sorts of shit that a 70-year-old guy needs.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. There's no Viagra at that point, but he's got the equivalent.
Yeah.
The 80s equivalent.
Yeah.
Just some sort of methamphetamine.
Exactly.
So Pacioretty wants to know why this Brenner guy is, why you bounced around so much.
Right.
Kaminsky / Brenner says moving around is safe when you don't have a group that can protect you.
Yeah.
Pacioretty wants to know if you've killed anybody before. Kaminsky says, yeah, more than one. Yeah. Three. You want names and addresses?
I love that the look, like Pacioretty takes this long, long look
this
at him
fucker.
After he says that. And he's like, smart. I like smart ass. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love the confidence of an old mob guy because he kind of sort of came and he got in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Even though this dude would snap him in half, you know, but he's like, you're not going to touch me. I'm like the Don.
Right. Well, if you touch me, you're not going to get out of the house alive anyway.
So Kaminsky just sort of smirks at this. Pacioretty tells him to leave so I can talk with Rocha alone.
Right.
He's got a man, as we said, he's got a he's got a confrontational interview style. That's not how you necessarily land jobs.
No,
by insulting the boss.
Nope.
After Kaminsky leaves, Pacioretty says, you know, I'm still not sure about this Brenner. Tells Rocha not to let him get too far in, not too far, too fast.
Right.
Pacioretty says, I want to see what he's made of. If he's no good, you know, we'll use him for something dirty and then just dump him in the pit.
And that's kind of why I feel like even Rocha from the beginning is even entertaining this. It's like he has no intention of getting rid of Max. It's just like, if this guy can be used for something that I don't want to touch, why not have him handy?
Kaminsky is like getting in the high cotton now.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
He's like getting in deep. So
totally.
Keller, he's running off a whole bunch of prints of the photo that he's taking with Brenner.
Kinko is paying like 10 cents a copy.
I feel like he was in the nightclub office running Xeroxes.
Yeah.
Why so many prints though?
Who's he handing them all out to?
The pictures were weird too. There was like no background.
And was it only the two of them? Like he cropped out Rocha?
I don't know what happened.
It looked
here.
Like he cropped out Rocha so Rocha couldn't be in the picture.
Yeah. It was odd.
I like the thought of like, Max like at a table with like some scissors, like cutting and like pasting to make it
like Joker when he was cutting those pictures of Vicky Vale.
Yeah, exactly. Vicky Vale.
Hard to stay inside the lines. So now we are at a clothing store in the mall.
Right.
Monique is trying on outfits for Kaminsky. He's saying all the right bullshit.
Oh, yes. I love this. It's my taste.
Great on you. Talking to how much he likes to watch her indecisively try on dresses. Every man's favorite activity.
No, this is fine. I'll sit right here. This is my favorite thing to do.
Meanwhile, Lemansky goons are just strolling through the mall and they spot Kaminsky.
Yeah, they're like eating snacks and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like
I don't think they were there looking for him.
Or maybe they were, but they had been for some time. Like they knew
the
he was
court?
At the mall.
How?
I don't think that's
even possible. I'd like to imagine they were just in there to hit the Orange Julius or something. And then it's like, hey, look, it's that fucking guy.
I get the feeling that they were tailing him.
And lost him maybe?
But lost him. And they're like, let's go to the Sbarro.
We'll troll the mall until we find him.
We're going to go hit the Panda Express.
Nice. An authentic Chicago slice from Sbarro. I don't know. They enter the store. They toss their food trash into the fountain that's in the store like a couple of fucking absolute animals.
It's another weird flex. It's like, fuck this store. Fuck this fountain.
Kaminsky,
it's so weird.
Kaminsky's like trying to buy the store from
She's
Monique.
She's like, I don't know which one. He's like, I'll get them both
for
you.
Get them both. The goons roll up. kiss her goodbye, shithead. What? He says, and then the music kicks in.
Yeah.
It's fucking killer, man. Kaminsky tells the manager, I like this moment, call security. She's just kind of there like, and then Monique's like, dial, dipshit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I like that.
There's some good lines in this scene.
I can't always tell if I dig Monique's style or not, but I kind of like a take charge
woman.
Yeah,
she's funny.
So Kaminsky just starts kicking ass.
Yep.
Monique's helping too. I like that. She like plucked the arm off a mannequin and just started wailing on one of the guys. She's got moxie, man.
It's a dude over the head with like a potted plant.
That shot where she swung the mannequin arm and like knocked stuff right into the camera lens was like a cool shot.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, there's the funny moment where the two like women shoppers in the store bump into each other and the one's like, out of my way, bitch.
I love that. That was so awesome. So awesome.
There's some good little
I wonder
laughs.
If that was like improv, like if she was like, out of my way, bitch. So good.
Now Kaminsky tossed the one guy through the glass door,
right?
Then he dunks the ringleader in the fountain. Kaminsky and Monique run out of there with Monique like scooping up an armful of clothes.
The ever enterprising Monique.
Yeah,
it's so hard to find my size.
And this is another moment that Ebert singled out where he mentioned like, this dude had been thrown through a glass door. There's glass everywhere and a guy laying out there in the walkway and mall patrons are just stepping over him like he's not there.
Trash.
It's weird, man.
This is Chicago.
This is the Chicago way.
It's a Chicago way. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun.
So at Pachavita's club, the Don and Rocha, they're debating how are we going to recover our lost money and drugs. In a previous episode, I don't know if we mentioned, there was a big raid on one of his like stash houses, right, and he lost $100 million worth of shit.
Right. Drugs and money.
Yep. So there's a cleaning service hard at work. The logistics of this shit always like confuse me in movies. Like,
right,
does he hire an evil cleaning crew, or is it just some cleaning crew, or is this the hotel, the Allerton's cleaning crew?
That's a great question.
You don't just discuss this shit, though, in front of outsiders.
I feel like he probably owns the Allerton Hotel.
He's got it like that.
That's probably not entirely true, because I doubt that Al Capone owned whatever hotel he was living in Untouchables.
But he'd like take out a floor of the hotel or something?
Exactly. Like a few suites of rooms.
I mean, it might be that sort of thing where the hotel is like, you know, you wash our hands, we'll wash yours sort of thing. One hand washes the other. Like,
exactly.
You're running out of floor, yell, we'll clean up the basement for you.
Yeah.
But you would not be discussing your criminal conspiracies in front of the vacuum guy.
No.
Pachavita, he's referencing the mole that they have again.
Right.
He said, you know, I've been told by our mole that all the drugs and the cash are being stored at a police precinct. And that soon it's going to be moved away, so we're going to lose our window to steal it all.
Right.
Kaminsky, who they don't really trust, has entered.
This is where
they're
he's
still talking about all that shit in front of a guy they don't trust.
This is where Kaminsky's sitting there drinking his mimosa.
It was either that or a screwdriver or like a tequila sunrise.
I want to believe that it's a mimosa.
Maybe it's just Sunny Delight.
It's Sunny D.
It's not the purple stuff.
The California style. Fuck that California style. Give me that Florida style, baby.
Anyway, yeah, Roca's trying to convince him this is a bad idea. You know, Pachavita makes this offhand reference to $10 million worth of shit got stolen in New York last week, which I was like thinking, is that like a French Connection reference?
Interesting.
Because that was like a thing where there was an inside job.
I feel like this movie makes a lot of references directly and indirectly to old movies. Whether it's because
might have been on the shelf for 10 years.
Ways
for one.
That scenes are set up and things are very reminiscent of older classic movies.
True. So Rocha, he's telling Pachavita, this is a pipe dream. You know, it's going to be full of cops. It's at a police station.
Again, he's trying to be the Stringer Bell of the operation.
Yeah, he's like the wise sage. So Kaminsky chimes in, says, a bomb.
What?
You know, make a bomb threat. Basically,
who?
The building will be evacuated. The guys are skeptical that the police would buy it. Kaminsky says, yeah, but not if you make them think there's a bomber out here that's like trying to blow up police stations. Petrovita turns his back and this huge grin
this
spreads on his face.
This is the best idea Petrovita's ever heard. Finally, someone who gets it.
Someone who's as crazy as I am.
Maybe Petrovita's, I like that Petrovita's on like prednisone and the prednisone's making him crazy.
I think he's at the end of his life cycle. He's like a hornet or a bee or something.
I just think that he's got like a nasty urinary tract infection or something. And like the prednisone's just making him act erratic.
Could be. His blood pressure's like bottomed
just
out.
Just like, fuck. Wow.
Cut to
impressive.
So we cut to, there's a couple of guys posing as vending machine stalkers entering this police station.
Gotta say, the guy, the lead vending machine guy, great actor.
Dude, he was selling it. He was like method with his shit.
Totally believed him.
You guys bigger on potato or corn chips?
The guys down at the six, they're not a big fan of the corn.
That's amazing to me. Yeah, he was selling the shit out of that ruse.
So good.
So the guy, he plants a bomb inside the soda machine.
It's like on a can of Fanta or some shit.
Yeah, with a 9-volt battery taped to it. And they skedaddle out of there.
Right.
Driving the Joe Walker snacks sales bread van.
S-N-A-X. Of the Tom's company, Tom's representative.
So now we got the tense music builds until the bomb goes off. It blows out the windows of the building, but a fairly modest explosion, which I think was the point.
Yeah.
Later, Harry Shannon, who we haven't seen in a minute, he's surveying the damage with some forensics guys or ATF or whoever that would be.
Right.
Harry is saying it doesn't appear that the culprit intended much damage. I love him just inviting himself to the crime scene.
The guy's like, what the fuck are you doing here, Harry?
Like, he's like, you invited yourself here to downplay the seriousness of it.
Right.
Then, you said the guy's like points out the obvious. What the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm just here to confirm it's not a case for the FBI. Did you jot down what he said? He's like, I'm just hoping that some pro-life whale-loving terrorist didn't do this so the Bureau doesn't have to get involved.
I meant to take a note down that they're like making fun of Greenpeace. Yeah.
It's like on some Ronald Reagan shit. Whale-loving terrorists. Who only a fucking hippie would love those whales.
How terrorists have changed.
Right? Now, Baxter enters. And he and Harry start exchanging pleasantries. It's even more strange that Baxter's here. He's like a state's attorney or a U.S. attorney or some shit.
It doesn't make any sense that Baxter would be there at all.
Or does it?
Bomp, bomp, wah.
Anyway, Baxter, he's asking, you know, what's the verdict? The forensic guy tells him, you guys need to leave we can work. Harry asks Baxter, how's the Petrovita case going? Baxter, he says, Petrovita, he's going to run out of options before we run out of patients. And then Harry says, I'm already out of patience.
Right.
He's got like a bad habit of tipping his hand.
Yeah, big time. It was just the fury inside.
Like, I think of him at the scene where his son was dead. I want them all dead. They're dead. It's like, dude, this could be used against you later in court.
No one heard that, right?
So
he's a grieving father. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Baxter says, you know, I thought you were off the case. And Harry says, I've got hours outside of work.
I never sleep, motherfucker.
Harry, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
At the bare minimum, he's hinting that there's like some extrajudicial shit going on.
He should have just said, I was driving by on my way home from work.
Or I heard this happened. I wanted to make sure everyone's okay. Right. I guess he's stationed in Chicago.
Yeah, that's sort of that's the vibe I got too.
Anyway, like, he's just like, the fact that he's here hinting that he's doing some shit off the books has the potential to wreck any legit case they could have against Petrovita. I get that he thinks he can trust this guy, Baxter.
Right.
But Baxter is literally the only possible mole that we've met so far.
Correct.
So anyway, Baxter cautions Harry, says, be careful. There might be wheels in motion that you don't know about. Harry says, my guess is whatever you've got working won't work.
Ooh.
Baxter says, we're doing all we can. And Harry says, well, that's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing too, man.
So Baxter says, hey, look, buddy, we just both want the same thing. Justice. Fuck justice.
Which is exactly what you want to hear every law enforcement officer say.
It's amazing. I feel like in the real world, when all the dust is settled, Harry would definitely be in jail.
Yeah.
Over what's happening here.
100%. Yeah.
You can't do this shit.
Well, you hope. Crimes of passion. You can't. Yeah, this is not how law enforcement works. But
anyway,
that's a discussion for episode 4.
Yes, I think we've wrapped this section up, but we'll be
with
back.
A nice, neat little bow.
The movie's about to pick up steam.
Yeah.
So
Hold next on to your
week,
asses.
Yeah, next week we'll take you a little bit farther.
We'll be back. Once upon